Pit Ends Podcast is brought to you this week and every week by the Brainstorm Brewery. Hello and welcome to the Pit Ends Podcast, episode number 90. Fuck, we're getting old.
Oh my god.
That was the sultry voice of Mr. Sex Panther himself. What's up, Ryan?
What up, what up?
Back this week. How'd your deal go?
Awesome.
Cool, cool. And Will's returned this week as well.
I have.
You have. He is present.
Yes, I am. How goes it, Internet?
Wait, was Will not here last week? I haven't got to listen to that yet.
No, he was here.
Okay. It's like, well, damn, man, we really screwed you.
Yeah, I did it by myself. I was just like, I can do this. And I just grinded through it and was like, yeah, this is perfect. And but I kept getting this background feeding from this dude that sounded like Will. I don't know.
You know what, though? You know what? To be fair, there's, you could read a newspaper and some people listen.
Yeah, that's sad.
Well, when you got it, man.
I suppose. Thing is, I don't have it. Okay, well, let's get into the magics.
The magics.
On Saturday. On Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday people showed up to play Magic.
Down in Orlando. They showed up on Friday, a lot of them, but they didn't actually get to play in the main event until Saturday. Sealed Deck was being played, hosted by SCG at a GP.
Yeah.
And Florida was rocking.
How many people showed up?
2,200.
Ooh, that's a good number.
Yeah, so we had a lot. Plenty of sealed day one. It was absolutely, dude, I'm gonna be real honest. This was fun as hell to watch.
Yep.
Yeah. Definitely.
Round five, I got to see, Darwin Castle versus Frank Skarren. And Skarren's like a 2-time GP winner. Castle's a Hall of Famer. I'm like, okay. So I'm sitting there watching a game and I'm like, Castle's dead, you know, and like, I don't want to get too far into it because you people should go back and watch this. And I'm like, he's dead. There's no way he's going to win. I mean, against Frank Skarren, there's just no way. And then it's like, oh wait, he's a Hall of Famer. Castle comes back from like the worst situation you could possibly be in and just takes a game he had no right taking.
He's real smart.
It was unreal to watch. Yeah. It was game one of round five. It was just like, oh my god. So like, I implore everyone, normally I would give the details, but this was such a good game. I implore everyone to just go back and watch this. I mean, if you think Sealed is all about what you open, no. Mr. Castle proves differently. It's about sequencing plays. It's so much more in depth than what a lot of people give it credit for. But one thing was hashed out. This is clearly in Sealed in 18 land format. Of the 33 players, the top 33 players, 20 of them had 18 lands. One of them had 19, and 12 of them had 17. So that equals 33, right?
There's just so many fucking fatties in this set you want to play.
That's from true.
Stupid green guys, like the Stomper or whatever.
It's slow enough to let you play them. And the 3 mana in a lot of decks and 4 mana and hell, 5 mana. We saw a lot of that. It really does put a strain on you where you need to play that extra mana just so you can play all those colors. Cause the last thing you want to do is be sitting on a hand of just boss ass gold cards and being like, God damn it. I still ain't drew no red yet.
Yeah. This is definitely a Snowhorn Rider, you know, Tusk Colossidon kind of format for sure.
Yeah. I mean, just like all 5 colors have access to like sweet 5 mana, 3 color morphs that are just, you know, very high power level for all of them. So. Like, even when you're in the late game, like, you still want to be, you want to have like 8 and 9 mana on a lot of turns late, when you get into actual combat situations with like multiple unmorphs, you know, it's, like even turns 4 and 5 are just setting up a lot in this format, I feel.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like, especially in Sealed, it seems like until turn 3, most of the time, no one's playing anything.
Yeah, like, and if they do, like, there's so many giant butts, like, on defense that, like, if they are playing 2-mana guys, you're fine, you know?
You have 1-mana guys that are 0-4s that just block, or you have 05 archers parapet.
Yeah, exactly. The archers parapet, or the 06 blue dude, with the unmorph for reveal blue card.
What Angelo was saying about 18 lands and what you were just saying about when you hit 5 and 6, you have to hit your 5 and 6 drop on time. You have to hit that land.
Even more than that, like you still have to hit your 6 and like your 7, your 8 are still really important on a lot of turns. Yeah. Like there's such good mana. You can play everything. So, you know, like you need to be able to interact on that high level and then still follow up with more plays.
People are hard casting treasure crews. I mean, not even help for it.
No
hard cast treasure crews.
Yeah.
I've hard cast dead drop a couple times now.
So. Yeah, and that happened too, I think, on camera.
Yeah, I saw that happen. That absolutely happened on camera. It happened, and then the dude played the Warden of the Eye, I think it's called, and he got it back.
Oh my goodness.
And then he hard casted it again. It was oh my god.
No. Wow.
Brutal.
He's like, I think I win now. And it's like,
you can kind of do whatever you want in this format. I will say though, like if everyone has reasonably good mana and everyone's playing what's in their pools, there is a cream of the crop, you know, and like play skills a lot, and a lot of the fact that the commons are as good as the rares, but like there are still cards that are just better, you know.
You really have to know
a lot of those commons though. Like there's cards like, you know, the Abzan guide and
guy is just insane.
The goblin that brings friends.
Yeah, Ponyback.
I mean, those cards are literally just as good as any rare. Like, I mean, when you flip those over, it's just like, ha! And people were like, fuck, I gotta deal with that now.
Yeah, Ponyback Brigade is very good. The Mardu deck it's very hard to do math against in combat, like what Will was saying, it does get, you really gotta know, you have to account for things like Aerostorm that has to be in the back.
Yeah, for real. That's a real card. I think
Defiant Strike is a blowout in combat, or not Defiance, what is it,
Defiant Crane Technique?
No, white is a creature, a +1/+1.
Yeah, +1/+1 counter, Feat of Resistance.
Yeah, Feat of Resistance.
That card's insane.
I mean, you really gotta respect the cards in this format. You gotta know, I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right about this is, play skill is huge here, and I think that's because this is at least since I started playing, this is the most balanced I've ever seen a limited format.
It's kind of over the top strong, it remains very balanced. It's kind of weird. It's like, you know, a couple weeks ago we was going over the numbers, and I you know, had that sneaky suspicion that things were going to be slower because of all those 05s and 06s we're seeing earlier, and it's hashing out at least in the sealed portion.
Oh, for sure.
Not so much in the draft.
In draft, you have access to more evasion and better.
You get to build your decks.
Yeah.
It's
better access to removal can really help. Like, because if you are playing against morphs and you have two drops and removal, you're going to be pretty okay.
Right. So, guys, I mean, Ryan, you seem like this is an A as far as how you feel about the sealed format right now.
Yeah, I was going to say earlier, I owe you guys an apology for shitting on the sealed Magic in general for so long.
Wow, you're apologizing for being close-minded. Thank you.
I mean, this is a very... This is great, man. Props to WotC. I don't know. I can't say enough about it. I've been drafting instead of playing. I could play standard, but I'd rather draft right now.
This format feels like what I wanted Dragon's Maze to be.
Actually, that's very well put.
I like it better than Theros. I think I'm hoping this whole block is a home run.
It should be pretty sweet. We'll see.
It's better than Theros. At least as far as limited goes, it's way better than Theros.
Yeah.
And Theros wasn't terrible.
About Voltroning one guy, and there's actually a lot of removal all across the board. You know, every color has access to good tricks and removal, and
I will say though, a lot of the removal is like not super premium. Like there is a big difference between Murderous Cut and everything else.
Well yeah, but there's good stuff, like, I mean, Kill Shot, a Throttle is still better than like Sip of Hemlock.
Throttle's pretty good actually.
Yeah, and we still got they gave us another 6-man, what is it, Rite of the Serpent. I mean, which sucks. I mean, it's sorcery speed, but there is a lot of, like, there's the charms. A lot of the charms kill creatures, Mardu, Abzan, and Salt-Eye all deal.
Right. Absolutely. Of that though, like the uncommon removal is very good, and the common removal is kind of lacking, I feel. Like,
yeah, the common stuff like Aerostorm and shit's more like sorcery speed, but there's a lot of good combat tricks at common too, like
absolutely.
Savage Punch, Rite of the, or Awaken the Bear,
Force Away, is that what it's called? Force Away is really good in a Jeskai deck. Like, it's really good.
Yeah. Dragon Scale Boon, I feel like, is a really sweet card as well. Like,
that card is all, that's a total build around in this format.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like everybody's on board. We like this sealed format. That's great. I love to hear it. Three guys on this show all like the sealed.
Crazy.
Like whole limited format. It's growing on me. I don't know. And maybe I'm just growing as a magic layer. I don't know.
That could be it. I mean, but honestly, this is a very good, limited format. Exciting. So this is the type of thing that could get you into limited, you know, kind of like Innistrad did that for a lot of people. Like, all of a sudden they were like, I'm just going to play limited. This shit's amazing because Innistrad was that good.
It was a fun draft format. Triple Innistrad is so sweet.
Yeah. I feel you'll get rewarded for your skill in this format more so than any other I've played.
Definitely your deck building also. Deck building is so hard in this format. Like, there are so many playables. Finding the correct, and like sideboarding, it's in sealed is like, there's more sideboarding in this sealed format than any other I've played. You can sideboard 5 and 6 cards just to kind of tailor your matchup, you know?
Did you see all the 5-color decks we saw this week? Yeah. Like, that was mind-blowing.
A lot of them. Well, the thing is, I mean, the mana is so right and so easy to fix with because you get a dual land in every pack, I swear to God. Yeah.
So, of the top 33, the fewest number of dual lands was 6, is that right?
Yeah.
So, and that was like, one of those is a 2-color deck, so... Crazy, you know?
Yes. I mean,
when you have 6 on basics, you can definitely build whatever you want.
Yeah, it does help. It does help. And, you know, if you have the ease of, you know, switching and adding a 4th color or splashing a 5th color, that easily, and you know the powers in the cards, you know what I mean? Like, well, I have a blue mana here. I might as well run this monkey knuckle.
Right.
You know, why the hell not, right? I mean, it just makes sense.
But this is a lot in that regard, like really learning a ton in this format, just how to build a sealed deck, how to build a draft deck, how to evaluate. I mean, taking those early colored lands, like you were saying, 6, they were shoving 6 in their decks in the top 32. You know, just picking those up as fast as you can.
I will say that, I think one of the big skills in this format is going to be when to know when to, shift your deck to go faster after sideboarding or when to size up. Like, if everyone's playing 4 and 5 colors, it's, you know, someone's deck is going to be better, right? So if your opponent's deck is better, you have to figure out a way, you know, to like maybe just go down to your 2 or 3 color deck and try and get there with tempo. So I think that there's a lot of skill in this format for sure.
Yeah, I think that's well said, Will. So day 2 happens and they're drafting all of a sudden. And drafting is completely different than sealed this format.
Drafting is pretty quick. It's a pretty fast format in draft.
Yeah, in the draft, it's fast. You gotta be very aware of Jeskai. You have to be very aware of Mardu. Yeah. And I'm not joking about the Jeskai. Like, you can deal 33 damage. I've seen 33 damage done on turn 5.
You can just make your opponent never have a creature that can block your guys.
Right.
Like, you have so much evasion and removal. Like,
yeah.
Makes the best use of Singing Bellstrike of any of the blue decks for sure. Mm-hmm. So.
I mean, and then like, you know, the Abzan decks are so just honed and tailored. Like, if you can't win early, it's tough to beat them late. You know, the Sultai decks are very good. I mean, they're all very good. It really does come down to how you build.
And how you play. Play skill.
Play
and
is a lot.
The games play out is going to be a big deal in this format.
All right. Sequencing actually matters a lot more in this limited format.
Sequencing is tough in this format. I've definitely made sequencing errors over the past 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, like I should have played that a turn later or a turn earlier. Like I've come across that already a couple times and I gotta say, like it's a smack to the old pride, you know?
Yeah. mean, there's only so much I can blame on the new Modo interface, right?
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, like I'll blame a lot on the Modo interface, but you know what? I mean, there's sometimes. We had a sweet top 8 though. We had Saul Malka. He goes 2-0. Pierre Mondon. Ian Farnung loses to Melissa DeTora 2-0. Arthur Viella 2-0 over Frank Lepore. And Eugene Huang defeats our good buddy Harry Corvese.
Yeah,
giant shout out to Sol Malka, old school dude, like the original creator of the rock. Like,
shout out to Harry fucking Corvace. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, of course.
He's going to get his top 8 win, dude.
Yeah.
Going to get his win. I
watched him play some pretty sweet magic on camera over the weekend, though. Giant shout out to him. Still made $1,000. That's not a bad weekend.
Right, but I mean, I don't know. You got your flight down to Orlando and everything. That's not a cheap one. he's going to get his win. I just, I've been pulling for him for so long, and I know it's coming, you know?
He's a really good Magic player.
He's been he's getting better.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary. Like, he was already really good, and he's been getting better over the last year or so, and it's just like, it's coming. It's fucking coming. He's getting his top eight soon. So we had, Saul Malka versus Melissa Datura in the semis, and Datura wins 2-1. Eugene Hwang over Arthur Viella, 2-0, and then Eugene Hwang wins 2-1 over Melissa Datura.
Angela, I feel like you might not be incredibly racially sensitive about this dude's name.
Dude, I'm not insensitive about it only because I get to say Wang.
Like, okay, all right. I would go the whole way and say H. Wang then.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, he has a big trophy and he was just swinging his dick at all of them. I won. Or should I say swinging his Hwang at all of them.
Hwang.
I'm not being racially insensitive.
Okay, just making sure it's a penis joke.
It's a penis joke. Okay. It's just like last week or the week before it was like Jack Me Off.
Jakubowski. Oh yes. My god, that was last week. Ryan, were you there for the Jakubowski top eight? No?
He was here for the first time he made the top eight, but it was just like, oh, there's Jakubowski again. Like, oh my god, that name, I love it. So I'm sitting here staring at these decks, and Harry went pretty, hard into the, red, blue, red deck. What fucking?
The Jeskai deck?
Is that what it is? Yes, Jeskai.
Yeah, or red, blue,
white. He splashes white for Ascendancy and Deflecting Palm, it looks like.
An Anok Bonkin.
And a Jeskai Garm.
Yeah, Mardu Horde Chief. Yeah, so he's pretty Jeskai.
Yeah, I mean, he's fairly Jeskai, no question about that. But it's not well for him.
There's not a way to go with Jeskai. There's like the blue, white, aggressive flyer deck, you know, splashing some red, and you know, two different builds you could go.
I think he's close here. He just wanted like a couple of the 4-3 first strike morph guy. He's close. He just doesn't like have enough. Like Bloodfire Expert is not a card that you want to run, and the Glacial Stalker is a little uninspiring.
I'm a little shocked by the Treasure Cruise in the sideboard.
Well, I don't think the Jeskai deck really wants it that much. Like, it's even after, like, even after you Treasure Cruise, it's pretty hard to come back. Like, if you're that far behind on board, like, even if you're, like, drawing flyers and playing them, a lot of the times their army is just too big. At least this is what I found. You know, like, I play a lot of Jeskai, so.
Fair. How many actual prowess creatures does he have? Only, like, three, huh?
Not too many. He has two Jeskai Wind Scouts, which is sweet, you know.
Yeah, he only has four prowess creatures, right, so right, that explains why the Aerostorm's not in there as well, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Mystic of the Hidden Way is actually really good in this format, but you know, you don't want Mardu Horde Chief in this deck, I don't think. So,
nah.
Like that kind of stuff. Like, Einok Tracker is definitely not a sweet card, and Wetland Sandbar is pretty underpowered. So,
right.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Ian Farnug, who was undefeated at the end of day one, he had a sickle. I see white.
Yeah, he's pretty heavy white.
I see blue.
Yep.
And I see red, so we got more Jeskai here.
Yeah, very light touch on the red.
Yeah, Arc Lightning.
But there's
a pretty good reason to touch on the red, though.
He has the two of three
white, blue, like more aggressive list I was talking about that just kind of touches on red for some burn or, you know, arrows.
Yeah, well, see, this
I don't
guy,
know how aggressive this is. He's playing
he has
fives three. And 1-3s.
I think
07s.
He's got the flyers, yeah. He's got the Kirin's. I feel like Kirin's a pretty aggressive card in this format.
It's good. What it actually does best is it holds back morphs while attacking, but like, this deck is just not that sweet. He just doesn't have.
No.
Like all of his guys are big blockers, and that's not what you want. I just don't see him punching through the damage in enough time.
Yeah, it looks like he's almost sitting back on his blockers to try and get out like a Pearl Lake Legion or a River Wheel Aerialist.
Yeah, that's like his two options to win. And the Pearl Lake Agent, it doesn't have any evasion whatsoever, so like that's a tough fight.
That really is. Although the River Wheel Aerialist,
that's a card.
That thing can beat some ass.
Yeah, I lost a game to that for sure.
Scaldkin's actually pretty good too. Like
a fine card. Yeah.
But
that was better than I thought it was going to be. It's probably the best way I can put it. Like that two damage is not insignificant.
Again, though, he has like no hard removal though. Like he's running a main deck Blinding Spray and a cancel. Like this deck did not come together.
This did not come together at all. So that explains that. See, Pierre Mondon. In case you people ain't figured it out, we're in our bottom half of the top eight here, so these are the people who did not do well.
This looked pretty sweet. This looked too bad.
This does not look bad at all. Ankle Shanker, War Name Aspirant, two War Seekers, I like that.
That guy's really good. That guy's also really good. You can blow people out with a Heart Piercer when you're off play. Like, you just attack with your morph, they don't block with their morph, slam the Heart Piercer, like it's just very tough.
Yeah, two Sidisi's Pet, I don't like that in this deck.
That card's not very good.
There's places where it belongs, but it's not in a Mardu speed deck.
Yeah.
Horde Chief, two Hate Blades, see a Rite of the Serpent, that's a little big, Arrow Storm, Hordling Outburst.
Not that good.
Outburst is good in this, Kill Shot, Throttle, two Burnaways, one Crackling Dune, and a Mardu Charm.
I think that Elliot Wang got the better of the Red Burn. He got the...
I'd take out that Mardu banner and put in that Swift Kick.
He has two Mardu banners.
Yeah, I don't like that. I would put in the Swift Kick for one of them for sure.
I mean, he is short on playables, like... Jeez, I play the Bloodfire Mentor over it.
He's Hordling Outburst and he's not playing Trumpet Blast.
Trumpet Blast, yeah, Trumpet Blast should probably be the, like...
So there you go, Swift Kick, Trumpet Blast, take out the banners, move along.
Yeah, his mana's not really great either, he has four.
He does have the Mire though, that helps him search out, you know, you can count that almost as a dual land in this deck.
I feel like it's just gonna get mountains most of the time. He's pretty heavy red, not too much black, but, and then he has like this Rite of the Serpent. I don't know. I can see this being a bottom half also.
Yeah. Yeah, not quite perfect. And let's see. Frank Rapport.
High Sentinels of Arashan, that's a real card.
Oh my god, is that good? I got to play with that in a pre-release.
Two timely Horde Mates, that's pretty sweet also.
I'm thinking of running High Sentinels in a standard deck. I'm kinda...
Bloodsoaked Champion is not that good in
this
format.
It's very little removal. Just has like one Rite of the Serpent, one Kill Shot, one Awaken the Bear, and like a Become Immense as combat tricks, you know, Defiant Strike, but...
Become Immense is pretty good.
Yeah, it is actually very good.
you know, you can cast that for one, and plus six for one is pretty damn good.
Be real, yeah. I mean, he has actually a lot of good Outlast guys, but again, not the sweetest mana, just three dual lands, no tri lands. Like, I feel like his mana is pretty tough in this one.
You should double check the mana. Yeah, I'm not happy with this mana at all.
No, he's on like five planes with a High Sentinels of Arash, and like, that's a card you want to have multiple planes in play to have.
Right, right. Okay, so let's go to a winner's deck. We'll go to Arthur Viella. Let's see. Wow, a mainboard Venerable Lamassu. And I don't think that's always wrong either. I'm just gonna say that's a 5/4 for seven with flying.
It's not incredibly terrible. It's actually a pretty big dude.
There's not as many flyers in this as there's been in past sets.
No, and there's very few flyers that compete with him. There's like a couple rares and that's it. There's like three guys that can tangle with this guy in combat.
Yeah, that's kinda why I like him. It's solid creature package. By any stretch of the imagination. One sorcery and it's a Savage Punch. Feat of Resistance, that's the best white common, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, very easy.
I like the Outlast guy with First Strike. I think he's very good.
He's good. He is really good. Yeah. As far as spells go, in white.
It's tough. It's that or Killshot. Killshot's very good.
Killshot is very good. But he has two of those there too as well.
Yeah, I know. Like his spells are sweet.
Yeah.
Waking the Bear. Feat of Resistance, I feel, is just much more flexible than Killshot.
Yeah, but the thing is like, Killshot has the potential for being more effective later in the game when they're, like, you can get so much mana efficiency out of it after they unflip morphs and you just Killshot it. Like, they pay five or six, you pay three, you know, after you play the small guy. I think it's pretty good. Like, Feat of Resistance requires you to at least have a dude in play and it's a combat trick. Like, what if you're just being beaten down by flyers? You know, it's not sweet at that point.
Yeah. Keeping that +1/+1 counter on it, though, that's...
It's good. It's good. I mean, it's real. Part, and you play three of them if you have it, but...
Yeah, he's got a couple boons in here and Awaken the Bear. Yeah, this is a nice deck. Okay, Saul Malka?
Yeah, he was doing two-color all day long in draft.
He was a beast.
Yeah, but he got that Siege Rhino, so he splashed some white for that.
Right.
Because that card's stupid good.
It's
another standard playable...
Yeah, it's standard.
By Scavengers and a Murderous Cut. He's, putting a lot on his graveyard. Then again, he has two Rakshasa Secret and two Bitter Revelation, two Scout the Borders. His graveyard is doing work for him.
Yes, it is.
Like this is definitely black-green Delph.
Yeah, with a splash of white for, you know, Siege Rhino. He's only running one plane, so that just, I mean, he does have a, Citadel, so that gives
Citadel,
him another
Scout
and a Barons. But that's it. What's he running two Thornwood Falls for? Is there blue in here that I'm missing?
There's a Sogyu Mauler. Yeah, so he's four colors, but he's
okay.
Really black.
Yeah, that Sagu Mauler is worth splashing for too, so that makes sense.
Especially as, like, he has, you know, three sources for it, which is pretty sweet.
Okay, now our deck that finished second. Nice deck.
I really like Melissa de Torres' deck. I thought her deck was the better of the two. She just had some bad luck in the third game.
Yeah, very strong teamer, deck. I mean, it just, she's got a Force Away, a Teamer Charm, a Disdainful Stroke. I mean, those are all legit.
Her Ascendancy is.
An Ascendancy. She's running two banners as well. I don't know.
17 land, two banners is a little strange.
Yeah, she does have the Treasure Cruise, a Savage Punch, and Incremental Growth.
That card's very good.
But these creatures. Two Snowhorn Riders.
Card's so sick.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. A Savage Knuckle Blade. An Ice Feather Aven. Which, by the way, you can just be beaten by the 2-2 Flyer. Like, it's happened to me. So.
Yeah, I actually drafted a Bant deck based on two Ice Feather Avens. Like, I was mono white and then got these and just, like, went for it. You know, it was a 3-0 deck. It was awesome.
Why not? A Bear's Companion. That's a fine card. Alpine Grizzly, which is actually really good.
Yeah, I love Alpine Grizzly in this format. I think it's amazing. Like, its utility early on offense is sweet, and it blocks extremely well into the mid game.
See, Logshot Squad, a very good answer to the Flyers, because it comes in as a 3-3. You put the +1/+1. A 4/4 reach creature is real.
Oh, yeah, that's the truth. And, like, the fact that it gives all your guys reach is insane.
What's
his
up?
His outlast cost is good, too. It's low, it's... It's
yeah,
not,
it's only two. Yeah. And yeah, that's more than fair.
Pretty fair, so. I'm a big fan of this card. I'm impressed with him every time.
I picked him as the best green common, so I think he's pretty sweet.
Two Smoke Tellers, that's a fine two drop. That's fine.
It's a fair, you know.
And it has a little trick to it, which actually is not insignificant, because a lot of morphs are being played. Let's just
I've activated Smoke Teller a couple times.
A Tusk Colossodon, because for 6 mana, 6/5 is still pretty good.
He's actually really relevant. It's hard to get 6 damage. On a lot of guys. He's one of the few commons who has a 6 power. And that's important in some matches where they just have the 0/6.
Well, the Tusk Colostodon and Woolly Loxodon are just huge.
Oh, yeah, Woolly Loxodon as well. She would much rather this was a Woolly Loxodon, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Right. She's got a Scald Kin, a Kiru Spell Snatcher, which, I mean, it counters spells and gives you a 3/3.
Yeah, its morph cost is a bit high, though.
It is, but...
It is just a morph creature, and playing the morph game is pretty good.
Wing Scout, why not? 2/1 Flyer with Prowler, sure. Yeah. And an Embodiment of Spring.
I like me some land. Spring. Her mana's bad. I didn't see how bad her mana was.
Well, Embodiment helps. 2/2.
Yeah, but it's like Embodiment, 2/2, like, 1 fetch and 1 tap land. I can understand why she has the banners now.
Yeah.
I'm still not happy about it.
Alright, what's in the sideboard that I would rather have in the main board? She already has a cruise in there. I don't know if 2's right for this.
Not that heavy on red, so I don't think her mana's that bad. She's got very few spells with red in them, so.
You still want to be able to cast your Savage Knuckleblade on time.
Yeah, but it's a great late game card too.
But at that point you want the second red to give it haste.
Yeah.
I guess with the long shot squad, the Sagu Archer isn't as important.
No, I keep that in the board. I don't think that card's super sweet unless you really need it.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's okay as far as what she built.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see any misbuild here. I just think she didn't quite have the fixing she needed.
Now to the guy who was like, I'm going to go Mardu and I'm going to get everything I want.
Yeah, this guy's deck makes a whole lot of sense. Yeah. His removal is incredible.
Dude, he has 2 Mardu Rough Riders.
Yeah, that card is so real. Like, oh, you're a big giant fatty, can't block at all? Great. Like, so into it.
Oh, you're 0/5. Just go away.
Get out of here.
Go away.
Like, 2 Debilitating Injury, 2 Bring Low, 1 Throttle, 1 Mardu Charm, Arc Lightning, Aerostorm, Ghostblade. Like, those cards are awesome.
That last one you said.
Ghostfire Blade.
Oh my god, is that good.
Man, you can't get in more fights with the dude with the Ghostfire Blade.
No, you cannot. A Swarm of Bloodflies, which, with this type of deck, you have to kill things early. And if he puts that thing down.
Is really good in this deck.
Yeah, Jeering Instigator, fine card.
Threaten on a stick,
I've gotten to play with it. I'm quite happy with it.
Summit Prowler actually does a whole lot of work in this format.
Yeah, I'm a little shocked to see 2 of them in here. The double red's kind of rough.
If you can get him consistently on curve on turn 4, he will dominate the board until turn 6. Like, he's awesome.
No, that's fair. Yeah. So yeah, that explains why he won his. I'm not even going to try and go over things that I would replace because there's not much.
Yeah, his deck.
I would put in the active trees and oh wait, I have a Jeering Instigator. Never mind.
His deck's sweet. Like it, after seeing all the other ones, this guy's deck really came together right.
Yeah, it absolutely did. I mean, you might find a spot where a Swift Kick's really good or a Valley Dasher's really good.
I don't like Swift Kick very much in this format.
I don't have too much of a problem with it. Especially like if you have a couple 2/3s. It really is good for killing, morph creatures.
Fair.
Yeah, that's when I brought him in, at least. Yeah, I mean, I don't see, the Valley Dasher I would bring in against really slow decks. Because when you drop that turn two against a bunch of really slow decks, and there are plenty of them.
Yeah, if they don't have
blocks. It puts in work. I mean, in a Mardu deck, it might get in 6 damage, but that's legit.
Yeah, that's all you need with Mardu deck a lot of the time.
Right. So, you know, congrats to Mr. Huang.
H Wang.
Congrats to him. He just.
Yeah, he had three. He had 3 non-basics too. So I guess 3 is what you're expecting in draft. That's about right. 1 per pack.
It's a little bit quicker, so you don't want to go overboard.
Yeah.
So we do have a top 5 cards here. That why not? Number 5 is Nomad Outpost. That is the Mardu Tri-Land.
Yeah, it's probably just all the Tri-Lands.
Yeah. Butcher the Horde was 4th because it's a 5/4 flyer that does everything. Snowhorn Rider was 3rd. Ghostfire Blade was 1st. Oh, and Morph. Specifically the token.
Yeah, the Morph token was the most played card on the weekend by
you saw all. That everywhere. It was insane.
The Morphs are just so good, and they designed the set very well because there's very few 3 drops that compete in the cost there. You know, there's just a couple of evasion guys who are better.
Right. It's like,
that and the Alpine Grizzlies, you know. Oh man, I drafted a deck with 3 Alpine Grizzlies, 3 of the, 4/3, guy, the red guy, and, Teemer Ascendancy. That was a fun deck.
Okay, now we're gonna go over a tournament that we can't go quite as in depth on.
Yeah, I didn't watch this one. I don't know.
I don't think there was coverage. I looked.
It was from Shaq.
It was probably on like GG's Live or something.
Yeah, it's also on a totally different time schedule. It'd be like 4 in the morning when it's on. Or...
Yeah, that's actually when I looked. I couldn't find it anywhere.
That's a shame.
So, you know, it is what it is. But this had a pretty sweet top 8 as well.
Yeah, sure.
Zhuang Minghui versus Yu Yin. Yu Yin wins 2-1. Hanbing, 2-0 over Wu Juhan. We had Tamada Ryokji, 2-0 over Shuhei Nakamura. I know I got that name right.
Yeah, I know that guy's name.
So Shuhei went out early. Zishu, 2-1 over Li Yushen. So we have Zishu versus Tamada Ryokji, and Zishu wins 2-0. We have Hanbing versus Yu Yin. Yu Yin wins 2-1. Yu Yin takes this thing down 2-1 over Zishu.
So, what was Mr. Yu Yin's winning list, if you don't mind me asking?
Yu Yin?
Yeah.
Let's see. Of course, these aren't in the correct order. I'm about to sound like clues here in a second. I see Einok Bonkins. I see a lot of white. I see some black, and I see some green.
Oh, wow. I see Ivory Tusk Fortress, Rakshasa Death Dealer, Siege Rhino, 2 Abzan Guide.
Yeah.
That's a winning list, man.
Oh, boy.
A kill shot and awaken the Baraboon and an Abzan Charm.
Yeah, pretty spicy. Kintree Invocation as well with, like, Salt Road Patrol in the same deck is pretty optimal.
Oh, it's so good. With Disowned Ancestor. And
yeah, Disowned Ancestor and a Kintree Invocation might be the best thing you can do in draft. Yeah.
Okay, well, I just need to look at Shuhei's because
I
expect him dramatically high when it comes to limited. He's got that damn Pearl Lake Ancient.
I think that card's a trap. I don't think that card's where you want to be.
Like, in a Meandering Tower Shell? Shuhei, what the fuck are you doing?
What the fuck are you?
You know what? You know what? Shuhei Nakamura made the top 8, and he's a much better player than any of us. I don't know. I can't say we can talk shit about.
I mean, he's so late game. He like built a sealed deck, right? Like, I love the 2 Sultai Flayers though. That card's real.
Yeah, that card's real.
Sultai Soothsayer is very good.
He's got early stuff that gets out and blocks and
man, I really don't like Tower Shell or Pearl Lake Ancient. I think that.
Yeah, those are bad.
The Ancient having Flash is maybe somewhat relevant. You can like represent a morph trick and flash this guy out in mid-combat turn 7.
Could at least have like Island Walk or something.
Yeah, it needs some form of evasion. It needs something.
Wait, the Meandering Tower Shell has Island Walk.
But it can't ever hit.
It takes 2 turns to smack somebody.
No. But like 2 Pinewalkers is sweet. You know, if he just didn't have bad cards in this deck, he probably would be really sweet.
Well, okay. Will, between me and you here, and Ryan, you can jump in here too. He has a Tuscalocidon in the sideboard. What's better, the Tuscalocidon or the Meandering Towers?
Dude, that's not even a fucking question. You play the six.
Not a question.
It's a 6-5 even.
Yeah.
Like, it come is. On, dude.
Hey, Will, I think that's the fastest we've ever agreed on anything.
it really is. I mean, yeah. He also, you know.
I think Yuhei has a couple trap cards. He's like, he's already in the top 8. He's already made his money. Like, he doesn't care if he wins. He's won a million of them, right? So he just like, he wants to kind of speculate and prepare for pro tour drafts.
Bow out for the kids, for his, you know, for the kids of his country.
I think he might just be preparing himself for pro tour draft next week if he sees these rares.
I mean, I'd splash a red for the Snowhorn Rider instead of the Pearl Lake Ancient. I think he would have done better.
Or, you know, like, he might as well go 5. Fuck it.
I mean, I think those 2 changes, he does better. I mean, because he has the blue with Dismal Backwater.
Yeah, for sure.
Shuhei, well, so much respect for you.
I mean, he's probably just experimenting. It's a new format. I imagine Shuhei in 2 months would not put those cards in his deck.
Probably not.
This was like, just
he has the Pro Tour. Yeah, he has. That's what I think it is. I think it's Pro Tour testing. He's like, are these cards good enough?
Yeah, but you know what? When you look at his picture, he does look embarrassed with what he built.
Oh yeah, he does look embarrassed.
He's got his hand over his eyes. He's like, oops.
That is funny.
So at least he knew it.
I'm kind of disappointed it's not a full picture because Shuhei always wears like the greatest shoes ever. He normally wears like blue suede shoes to Magic tournaments.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, dude. He always does have nice shoes. Yeah. Okay, so their top 5 cards. One of them was Flying Crane Technique. That was number 5. And if you've been hit by that, you understand why.
Dude, if it works, it's
game.
Oh my god.
If it works, it's game. I mean, there's no way around it. Wingmate Rock.
Card's pretty good.
If you've raided with that thing, you understand.
Yeah, it's even sweet enough when you don't have raid.
I know, 2-3-4s for 5 mana.
Oh, it's insane.
And there's not a lot of flyers. That's the big thing. Yeah. It's so, like, debilitating. Murder's Cut.
That card is the best removal spell by a wide margin as well.
Yeah, Crater's Claws, because I've never passed a fireball.
No. I don't care what deck it is, I'm playing Crater's Claws.
Yeah, I see a Crater's Claw. I can only think of maybe 2 cards I take over it in a whole set, and like, that's because, you know, like, one's a planeswalker.
One is pretty high. Yeah.
Yeah, like this card's really good. It's like, a fireball.
And knowing that it's going to be the rare in the pack, I don't know how many uncommons or commons I start in my deck over this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, you've been drafting a long time, Will. I've been drafting a long time. Have you ever cut a fireball from a deck that you had one?
Oh, come on, are you kidding me, dude?
You just don't do that.
You don't cut fireballs. You make ridiculous splashes and you make sure you draft Terramorphic Expanses so you can put mountains in your deck. Like,
yeah, so you can play one mountain.
You play fireball, man. You just do it. Like, even if it's just Blaze, and this is just better Blaze, you still just play it every time.
Yeah.
Like, value.
Yeah, no question. Abzan Ascendancy was number 1.
Best Ascendancy in Limited. So much value.
Yep, it puts +1/+1 counters on things.
Well, and the tokens respect, like, man, if you ever get to put 2 of these in play at the same time, it's going to be a bad day.
I don't know. I think Jeskai Ascendancy is pretty damn good in Limited, too. It's such a blowout in combat.
I mean, it's sweet. It's sweet, but like, and it does mill you or loot you to continue to play your guys.
The big reason why I agree with Will Ryan is on this one is because in Limited, it's a lot of like creature resources, and what this does is it creates extra resources for every creature you have.
Yeah.
Creature dies, and it's like, okay, it died, but I still have something.
Yeah, like there's a reason why Moreland Haunt was so good for a while.
Right. It's just it just creates more. Kind of like what Will said, Moreland Haunt, it just creates more resources for you. It doubles all of your resources once you get this thing down. And, you know, even though they're just 1/1s with flying, like, over time, if you got a decent amount of removal, hey, guess what? Those 1/1s are going to kill you.
There's not a lot of flying in the format, and they make excellent chump blockers. So they make racing a lot easier, you know?
Yep, yep.
But, like, that, and it turns your entire team on. Like, if you have just 2 of the guys with keyword abilities, like, that splash on your team, like, getting those to all your dudes, even not just your outlast guys, is very difficult to lose games from that point. Like, when all your dudes have, like, first strike, reach, death touch, like, that's it. Come on.
Yeah, that's pretty absurd. No.
Like, and it's just the amount of mana you can get out of this card by combining all of the outlast abilities is, you know, you can get 6 and 7 mana out of this card for sure.
Okay, well, the big monkey in the room over the weekend was Magic Online farted again.
This was bad.
It did it in the best spot you possibly could. During the deck submission of the top 8 of a PTQ.
Yeah, you've gone, what, 11 rounds through the PTQ so you can not submit a deck?
Plus the pre-PTQ.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And so you grinded through all this. And the guy that won, I'll give him credit for this. I believe his name is Sneaky Homunculus. If he wins, he won, so he's getting his invite no matter what. But they're going to make all 8 of these people come back and redo this top 8. And if somebody else wins, they'll get a Pro Tour invite as well. And if for some reason Homunculus wins, the invite will go to the second place finisher.
They still get bonus prize for it, though, which is
right.
Cool. Like, it's a good way to make up for it.
Getting and 2 guys are going
instead
of 1. But you know what? At what point... And you know what? I've been an apologist for a long time.
Yep.
I really have been, you know. But at what point...
Told you, Angelo.
...does the community start calling for worse job? I'm just being honest. Somebody has to be held accountable for this being so bad.
It is not very good.
I mean,
Magic Online is very bad. Like, my computer's good, and it still doesn't run right.
Look, I've been saying this for months. There's no company, there's no successful company anywhere with incompetence at a high-level managerial position... That would tolerate it.
Yeah, I mean, you know what?
In the you know, just the criticisms from the public, just the sheer volume of dollar they've lost.
I don't think they're making a lot of money on the new client right now.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've been an apologist. I've used all the excuses everybody uses, but you know what? If you say, well, it's Hasbro not giving them enough money, well, who's the one going to Hasbro asking for money? Because obviously he isn't presenting his case on why he needs more money. And if that's the guy in charge, which is worth, then it falls on him. If they're giving him the money and the product's still not good enough, well, he's the guy in charge. That falls on him. I mean, it's time. The community needs to, you know, stand up and say, okay, enough's enough. We gave you enough chances. You know, we waited for V4. We even gave you a little bit of time during V4 to hash out all the bugs.
Yeah.
It's over now.
You need to hire competent people, not your friends. And that's Watsy's biggest problem.
Yeah, I mean, he needs to go away, unfortunately. And, you know, look. I've been the apologist. I wanted to give him all the time in the world, but you know what? The time's over. At some point, you just gotta face facts. You know, he's not doing his job as well as he should.
No, and you know what bothers me the most too is how, like, when people say something, or even when it's, you know, a well-worded, you know, not calling him an apple or whatever, critique, you know, just a well-thought-out, you know, complain or something, his responses are just so childish and nonsensical, and like, he just...
Or non-existent. When somebody asks him a hard question, he disappears.
Oh, hey, I'm glad you feel that way. I'll take note of that. Thanks.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of times people ask him actual hard questions, and that's when he disappears from a conversation on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have a legit answer for it. And, you know, like, I can accept, okay, it's close to being right. We got to make these changes. We know what these changes are. We're going to do it. I can accept that if you can actually spell that out for the people who are trying to spend money on it. But, like, I read just the other day that they're still working on trying to fix, and it supposedly was done a while ago, but they're still trying to fix the memory leak. And I have been, you know, trust me, I have been smacked by the memory leak worse than most people.
You have not had a good time with it.
Explain this. What's the memory leak?
Okay, once you start playing, your RAM begins to get used like a normal computer would. Well, what it does is for past processes that you've run through, it continues moving RAM through the old processes. So when you go through like 2 rounds of Magic, all of a sudden your RAM is completely stacked full and the thing freezes on you.
Yeah, it just continues to pile up. It doesn't ever clear its RAM use. So it's seeing everything you've had happen since you...
Why don't you clear your cache?
You have to log off and log back on in order to get a, like, basically you just have to log off after
everything. This isn't your hard drive. This is your RAM. This is your short-term memory. So you have no control over that. The program's supposed to clean itself up as it moves.
Oh, see, I'm on a Mac. It's different.
No, RAM's RAM, dude.
Yeah, RAM is...
You can control in the activity monitor.
You can control your own RAM.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that on in some higher level functions in like your JavaScript.
Yeah, it's definitely not easy. I don't know what code to type in, but there's.
Yeah, if I could go into the DOS, I could do it. But.
See, Mac has a program called Activity Monitor, and you pull it up, and it shows you literally everything that's using any memory on your computer at the time.
Yeah, we got that on normal PC.
Yeah, you have that as well. But the fact is that the program itself continues to do it. It's not something that you can control by settings. It's something that the client is doing itself.
Yeah, it would probably crash on you.
What's going to happen is if you limit the amount of memory it's going to get, then it's going to crash itself out or it's going to give you memory issues.
That's crazy. So this completely like freezes you up, Angelo.
Yep. Anybody who's running under 8 gigs.
Yep. You need 8 gigs of RAM or more to be able to play consistently. And even then
to play 3 rounds.
After every event.
Yeah. To play a draft, you need 3 rounds to do that. You need 8 gigs of RAM to do this almost seamlessly. Yeah. And the last round will lag on you a little bit.
Even then, it's not seamless. It's definitely not. Like,
That's a lot.
Yeah, no, I know. Like, I have a gaming computer and I still can't run it all that well.
Dude, I ran V3.
It's not almost. It's not a computer problem. It's a program problem. It's a fault of the program.
Yeah they hire incompetent programmers at WOTC.
Right. Well, this is something that they supposedly fixed. And the thing is, they did fix it for people who had 8 RAM or better.
Yeah.
They didn't fix it the whole way. They just fixed one of the problems. Because when the V4 first came out, if you had 8 gigabytes of RAM, you still wasn't good. You needed 16 to get through a draft. So, I mean, even though they've coded it a little better and it's less, it's still not perfect. So, I mean, it's just like, at some point, this has to fall on somebody's head. I don't care who it is. But
I will
you
say
would assume that it's the person who's in charge of Magic Online, and that's worth.
I will say that the only other time I've had issues with my computer, it hasn't ever been any kind of video game or visual program. It's always something that has a very complex rule set. Those are the things that tie up the most amount of thinking on the computer. So, I mean, while I will cut them, so I will apologize for the complexity of Magic, they are definitely not bringing home the bacon correctly. Like, they do need to be replaced.
I ran V3 on 1 gig of RAM and had never had problems with freezing.
They're really
No, that's fine. But I mean, that's a much less visually.
It is, but you know what? I don't care about the visuals. I just want to be able to play the game.
A lot of people do, but nonetheless, I think that the product is subpar. I am very dissatisfied.
I agree wholeheartedly, although I still had to do something stupid, which I'll get into later.
I still think Worth, I think, is only the tip of the iceberg. It's a very underfunded. I mean, I've always looked at MTGO and thought, why isn't this making way?
Well, I mean, look at Hearthstone, a game that was really designed for the computer to take advantage of it. It's just so much better. If Magic would have done that 10 years ago, they would have 30 million people playing by now.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, there's a lot, even 10 years ago, there was a lot more complexity than there is at Hearthstone. So that's the one place where I am.
I don't disagree, but like just the visual upgrades and the fact that it's very fun to play on the computer and like the way that when damage happens or creatures' powers and toughnesses are altered, it shows you on the card in a very clear and concise way all the time what's happening, you know.
Yeah, and I think part of the problem too is they've kept the same rules. They haven't updated whatever the rules system's on or whatever. I think they need to just, what I think they need to do with MTGO is just pull the fucking plug, start over.
No, that's what they did to make V4.
That was their excuse for cutting V3 is they was putting too much time between the two of them where they could put the whole team on one of them.
They had V3 to a point in time when it was pretty stable and they could have done a lot of upgrading inside of that framework. The program itself still had a lot of room to grow before you can consider it perfect enough to move on.
Right. What they needed to do, honestly, with the biggest problem with V3 was they needed better servers at the home base.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That was the biggest problem is that you get into a 1,000-man event and it couldn't handle that. That's your server. That has nothing to do with anybody outside playing.
So, to start over again after they just started over again is, eventually you're just going to put yourself in the Stone Age.
Yeah, you gotta consider, Ryan, this took them four years to get to this.
Yeah, you have to find the product that is most likely to work and then make it work.
Yep. So there's that. I've said my piece. I think Wirth should be fired. And, you know, when he comes in, just like a new football coach, he's going to bring in a new team with him.
Yeah, I hope so, man.
Whoever gets hired in his place. It's
going to be, I mean, it can't go on too much longer like this.
I would hope not. I mean, like I said, I've been an apologist since the beginning. And yeah, if I'm beginning to turn, then I think a lot of other people should seriously consider turning.
Let's hope he doesn't get another job in software. I don't know how he'll get another job in software anywhere with the Blameworth hashtag on his resume.
I mean, at this point,
I wouldn't put a hashtag on my resume, Ryan. No, I don't actually think Twitter is that important to the real world.
You know what, though? People check it. When you go to get a new job, people check Twitter. They check Facebook.
Only if we're going to
get hired.
Oh, that shit's weird, man.
Yeah, dude, everybody wants to know what's going on in your life, you know?
That's weird, man. Why, well, like, whatever happened to, you know, back in the good old days where you could, like, be, like, a total lecherous, wife-beating, child-abusing alcoholic, and as long as you made it to work on time, you were a good, decent American.
Dude, I had a parent.
You know?
Yeah. Those days are long gone, dude.
The church on Sunday, and you keep it straight for that, and then it's good enough, right?
Yeah.
Those days are long gone.
I had a parent on a football team I coached complain to the board about a picture I had on Facebook that was like 2 years old, and you could see a cigarette in my hand.
I'd have told him. I would have just threw down my shit and been like, if that's the case, I'm done.
The fuck is wrong with you?
I smoke. Go fuck yourself. I'd light up during practice at that point.
Yeah, I can't do that, but yeah.
And I don't know that your cigarettes are the... Anyway.
Yeah, I'd have grabbed a big old glass pipe and fucking smoked a big rock right in front of the kids, and I'd be like, no, that's how I'm quitting.
That's awesome. That's awesome, dude. Crack in front of kids. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So with all the bullshit that I just screamed about as far as Magic Online goes, they do have an update for the new downtime that they're going to be doing next week. They're going to fix the graveyard, apparently. They're changing the way it looks. Go on, Will, you sound like you wanted to say something.
The graveyard is very bad. Like, it's difficult to see anything at all. Like, even just being able to properly delve your spells is difficult. I can't imagine playing Dredge.
Yep. So they're supposedly going to fix that, and that's going to be nice. And with some of the visuals that they show, it does look a little bit better. They're also, the temporary zone is going to be a little bit better. Like when you play a card that, you know, you have to reveal a bunch of cards, you're actually going to be able to see those cards.
Yeah.
Instead of having to click something on the side to make it pop up.
Right.
I hate doing that, by the way. They're also going to add some binder filters. This is going to be happening October 22nd. They're adding binder filters, so cards will be a little bit easier to trade with.
Yeah, the binder and collection system in V4 is awful.
They, like, could have pulled it V3. V3 actually had that right.
Is there even a way for me to build a deck with cards I don't have? Because I can't find out how to do that yet, and I've been trying for 2 weeks.
You have to go through your wish list.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's kind of hard and kind of crazy to do. And on October 22nd as well, Elo ratings are back.
Yeah, cool.
I mean, I guess people have been crying for them, but I mean, like, they got rid of them in regular Magic. I didn't think we needed them on MTGO anymore.
What does people that like to know if they're winning or losing?
It's your rating as a player. Like, you win a game in a tournament.
No, I know, but I mean, like, do you, like, is it something you...
It doesn't do anything in the game.
It does nothing. It's just like, oh, like, you know, what's your rating? Well, I hover between 16 and 1700, you know. Okay, so yeah. You're a slightly better than average player.
Yeah, right. So it's nothing you give a shit about.
No, I mean...
I'm going to check on myself every once in a while to periodically see if it's worth me continuing to play.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be real honest. There's been a couple times I've gotten it up above 18 and 1900, and when I've gotten it there, like, dude, you feel good about it. You're like, hell yeah, I'm fucking kicking some ass. I'm playing some great Magic. But then you have a bad run, and you're back down around 1700, and you're like, meh.
Yeah, that's why I keep track of, it's kind of like Zam League, I guess, for paper.
In paper, they used to have an Elo rating. It's based off of Chess's rating, but they got rid of it for Planeswalker points because...
Apparently Planeswalker points are cool, which they're not.
Yeah, I mean, like, when you looked at an Elo rating and you saw an Elo rating of 2000 or better in paper, and you're like, oh, they get an
Oh, that guy's
well, good. Yeah, I understand why. That dude doesn't lose.
Yeah, the ratings used to be the invites for Pro Tours.
Yeah.
But like, it created tensions because it actively incentivized high rating players to play as little Magic as possible.
Yeah, it did. Once you got up to 2000, you did not go to Friday Night Magics because
you didn't go to Grand Prix.
Yeah, you could lose, but you go to a Friday Night Magic, you would win a game and lose points because your opponent was that bad.
Yeah.
I've played against players where I've lost points from winning, so I know that feeling, and when you're trying to play for a Pro Tour, like, that's kind of fucked up. The promos that are coming, the Mopar promo, that's the participation promo, is Prophet of Crucifix, nice art on that, and get an Entomb if you make the mocks.
Entomb's pretty sweet, that's a fun card.
Yeah, it is a fun card. Hooray, beer.
I like her.
So did you guys see this packaging for the Dual Decks Anthology that's coming?
So it seems like they had some leftovers that they needed to sell.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, everybody's known what it's going to be for a while now.
It looks cool, and I could potentially buy it as a way to just keep and have fun casual Magic available forever.
Yeah, you get that deck box for each one and the dice for each one, and it's really a nicely put together thing.
If the pricing is reasonable, like, it's a great kitchen table Magic accessory for you and your friends who play Magic very sparingly to have fun with. I think it's great.
Yeah, good Christmas present for somebody who's, you know, new into the game, or even somebody who's older into the game. Like,
someone who got out of the game, it's a good way to bring them back in. Like, I could think of people in my life, like my buddy Puff, who doesn't play Magic anymore, but knows how to play Magic, and if we got him new decks, he'd play with us, you know?
Yeah, I could see this, honestly. You know, I could see it being the collectible for some people who never want to open it, but I also can see this sitting with your board games the way that it's packaged.
Yeah, exactly.
Where you just grab it off of your board game pal and go, you know what, there's 8 decks in here, let's rock some.
Oh, you want to learn how to play Magic? Okay, well, yeah, here, let's check it out, man. Yeah, it's fine.
So what is this? This is just like a collection of different...
Of the first 4 dual decks.
Which were really sweet.
Yeah, like Divine versus Demonic. There's a tutor in there.
Yeah.
Is that a Dragons versus Goblins? Is that one of them?
Goblins versus Elves.
Goblins vs. Elves, Divine vs. Demonic.
Competitive.
I think it's none of the, it's all the ones before we got the Planeswalker.
No, it is the first 2 Planeswalker decks. So we have
Jace vs. Chandra's in there.
And then we have Tezzeret versus Elspeth, is that right?
It might be.
I'm checking right now.
Okay.
Tezzeret versus Garruk. Or Liliana versus Garruk.
That's Elves, Goblins, Garruk, Liliana, Divine Demonic, and Jace versus Chandra.
Yeah.
And they're saying MSRP is $100, which I think that's actually fair for this. If you can get it at MSRP.
Yeah, it'd be 120 for if you were buying each of them individually. Cause they were 30, or were they 30 or 40 apiece?
30 usually, yeah. So, yeah, there's that.
I could find it for
Christmas present though, for somebody that you know plays Magic. Yeah. This is something that'd be cool to get. Ain't no question about that. There was a bunch of changes to the Premier Play Invitational. It was originally announced in July, and I think I went over them all back then.
Mm-hmm.
But they're actually starting to go into effect now, after this Pro Tour.
I think these are pretty good.
A lot of them are really good. Some of them, I don't like the pre-PTQ thing.
Yeah, that's okay. They're just giving out so many more Grand Prix invitations with it, which I think is a more correct, like, scale on how to judge if a guy's a Pro Tour player or not.
Yeah, I mean, if you top 8 a Grand Prix, you deserve to get
it. Well, I mean, this one's even just if you are 33 or more match points at the end of a, or 39 or more match points at the end of a Swiss of a Grand Prix receive invitation.
Yeah. Cause you know what? There were some 9th and 10th place players this year who had that many. You know, they lost out on top 8ing because of, you know, tiebreakers and what have you, and it wasn't really because they had a bad weekend. And they deserve
not just top 32, not just top 8.
And these are tournaments with, you know, 2,000 plus players, and it's like, you know, they all 8 of them get to go there, and I had just as many points as the 8th place player, why don't I get to go? And that's a fair argument. I cannot argue with that one bit, and the team thing is now like the whole top 4 goes. Just
which is sweet.
Yeah, because I mean that's tough Magic as well. I know about that.
Teams are. I mean, I can understand how there might be a couple theoretically dead invitations to, you know, teams are 2 strong members and 1 weak member, but that's very unlikely that they're going to pop war.
Right, right. Hey, Ryan.
What up?
You got your pen and paper?
Yeah.
Okay. Will, you're the first. This is the first one of these you've done with us.
Yeah.
So we'll let you go first.
Wait. First of all,
can I actually? Do I have to go first? Can I take the wheel?
No. Wait. Champy Angelo, the beating I put on last time, I think, has earned me.
Yeah, but you know what? Will's new to it. Will doesn't want to go first, I'll let you go first.
Now, do you guys pick 1-2-3, 1-2-3, or do you wheel 1-2-3-3-2-1?
It's kind of like that, 1-2-3-3-2-1, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean, if I can have the wheel, that's sweet.
Okay, you want third? All right.
Yeah.
Go, Ryan, your first pick, you wanted it.
Turtenwald.
Ah, that's such a good pick. Damn you. Damn you. You know what? I'm going to go a little bit out of my, cause last time I just took good players that did, you know, very shitty.
Yeah.
So, cause like last time my team, Will, was like Ben Stark, Reed Duke, and Shuhei. And like, they all did terrible.
Yeah, it was bad.
I'm going to take Yuki Ichikawa cause the dude has just been on a tear.
Oh, good fucking pick.
That's a good pick. Good. I don't know about first pick, but definitely that's a solid one.
Dude, he's top 8 of the last 2 Pro Tours.
I know. all right. Well, that in mind, I think that another hot hand here is Stanislav Sivka. I'm going to take him.
Fair.
I think he's one of the best players in Magic right now.
Fair.
I will, take the bait as well. I think that if anyone's going to really figure out the new format, I think it's going to be Ben S. So, old Ben Stark. To me proud.
Ben Stark. He kind of let me down last time.
Yeah, I know, man. I know. I think he might just be slumping and trending downward, but, if he's going to fight to get it back, this is when he does it.
I'm going to take the player who's climbed the charts quicker than probably anybody in the last year and a half, and I'm taking William Huey Jensen.
Yeah, I almost picked him.
You're stealing my pick.
I'm sorry, dude. You wanted first.
Crushed the last two top pro tours, like with a top 25, I think, and a top 8.
That's why I got him and Yuki, because I want to win this time.
He's just been playing lights out.
Jared Betcher.
Oh, that's risky.
That's just not Ryan.
Jared Betcher.
Pick. I'm not going to argue that. Good pick, but that's just not Ryan.
No.
I
like the guy. I like the guy. Don't let's not get it twisted.
my last pick, I'm gonna go off of the grid on this one. I usually do. Can I pass while I think of this?
Come on.
Ah, damn it. I see, I want to take somebody way off the grid that, you know, nobody is even thinking of.
Frolic.
No, you know what? I am gonna take Guillaume Wafatapa.
Okay.
Guillaume Wafatapa, you say?
Because if there is a control deck to be had in this format, he will be the one to find it.
Oh, I don't know, man. I think that's a waste of deck as well.
Well,
do you even know if he's qualified?
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
Whose pick is it?
It's Will's.
It's me. This is my third pick. This is my last pick. Is that right?
Well, we had four last.
We had four? Okay. All right.
Okay.
We'll do four.
Well, then I'm going to go Jeremy Dezani. Absolutely.
Oh, you fucker. You just fucking pick.
A guy who's near and dear to my heart, man. Hasn't done anything in a little bit, but I think this is Willie Adel's weekend.
Oh, wait. I got my third pick. I still haven't done my third.
Yes, you did.
No, I got Turtenwald and Betcher.
Yeah, but you started first, so you will get the last pick of the draft. I'm the wheel, so I get picks. I get my picks are gonna happen first, because I go last in the first round and first in the way back, right?
Oh, but you guys both have three. I got two.
All right, go pick another one.
Oh, you didn't? No, you only have two?
Yeah, he should have picked one before I picked
one. Oh, yeah. You're supposed to take two as well.
Yeah.
He's kind of falling off a bit. I think he might get his, I'm going Raptor, Josh Sutter Layton.
Do you want Sonny? You can take him before me if you want him.
No.
Okay.
So Will?
So I am locked into Dezani and Willie Adel.
Okay, so you took Willie Adel. Alright, so that's your fourth.
Yeah, I love that dude.
I'm gonna take Li Shitian.
Sweet.
Hang on, is that T-S-I? How do you spell that?
Li-Shi-S-H-I.
Yeah.
Tian. T-I-A-N.
That one's pretty easy. It's actually exactly how you would think of this.
Li Shitian. Fourth and last pick. Fuck. Goddamn, this is a difficult one. You guys got some, we picked some good, this is gonna be very interesting.
Let's pick Patrick Dickmon yet.
Yeah, you know you want Sam Black, just take Sam
Black. Sam Black's good, I almost picked Sam Black.
So did I, cause, you know, White has gotten good.
Dude, he's so consistent, like.
Yeah, and White has some good cards, like, I'm kinda scared of him.
Will this be the Pro Tour that Reed Duke redeems himself?
Maybe.
I think so. I'll go Duke. I'll be a nice guy and pick the nice
guy. I mean, he's probably going to get top 32.
He sure didn't last time.
No, he did day 2 last time. Like, he didn't make it past, like, round 6 of day 1.
Well, that's anomalous.
Yeah,
but you know what? Short of, like, the one time, he has not fared well at Pro Tours.
Yeah, he's been pretty bad at the PT. I'm going to give him a chance, so I'm going to, oh man, that might be a big mistake.
Okay, Ryan, so, repeat RP picks so everyone can hear them by name. So, like, you picked who? What are your...
So, I got Turtenwald, Betcher, Raptor, Duke. We got...
All Americans, huh?
We got Will going international with his first pick in Sifka. He's willing to take a bet on the European. He goes limited mastermind, Ben Stark at 2. Recent PT crusher, Jeremy Dazani at 3. And a guy who's been on the bubble top 32s and shit recently at the Pro Tour trying to get in, Willie.
Super consistent. This guy is top 32 every time.
Yeah. I just went to Asia and was like, I'm going to take all of them.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's good. Angelo, he also went international, first pick of Ichikawa.
Strong pick.
Very guy. I don't know, man. Can you top 8 3 times in a row? Is that
yes?
Yes. Ask LSV a few years ago.
Okay. Yeah. The guy is amazing though, and the number one streamer in the world. So
man, that's kind of
Huey Jensen, another constant top 30.
Strong.
Dude, if Turtenwald does well, I figure Jensen will do well. So I'm gonna match picks there. That's why I went that
that's
way.
Pretty that's pretty fair. Yeah, those guys even draft together. They do videos together. Yep. Inside each other's heads.
I essentially picked their whole squad of Turtenwald, Jensen, and Duke. All guys. I mean,
that's like the best team in Magic right now. I can't imagine sitting across the table from
him. If there's a control deck, he's resting his laurels on the Frenchman with Wafo Tapa for the third pick. So, man, interesting choice there. I don't know.
I just have so much respect for the guy, and he is really consistent.
He's been good since he came back. He had the issue with the banning, which took him out of all the standings. Otherwise, he'd be top, you know, at least.
Yeah, and another.
He's in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. I think he is anyway now.
No, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer yet. Okay. He will be.
Yeah, you definitely kind of went international. Wafa Tapa got in at the last Pro Tour Hall of Fame.
Did he?
Yeah, I think he was one of the guys.
Of course he's invited.
I think that's how he qualified for this. I don't think he was qualified otherwise. I'd have to look into that. Li Shi Tian, a fucking fourth pick, a good fourth pick, man.
I think I might have it this time. Like,
dude, he's been so consistent. Dude. He's really consistent too. So,
I mean, if I miss on Ben Stark, that's my only miss, but like, my other three are solid.
Yeah, I feel really solid.
All of Will's. I definitely, with Will's package, I can definitely see.
You can see Will's package?
His team is stable here of guys. I could definitely see three of them, at least three of these guys top 64.
Yeah. I mean, I think I have one top 16, maybe a top 8, maybe two top 16.
I definitely see three. If you say one might fall off, if that happens, I don't know. All four of these guys I could legit see top 64.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's a pretty consistent team.
So yeah,
Power though. Your team has unquestionable star power. I don't know about the Betcher pick though. I don't think he's good enough.
Rookie of the year, man.
Who fucking cares about rookie of the year? Like,
well, he's been meteoric, and he's top 9 and 10 the last two pro tours.
Other people have done that. We'll see, man.
Yeah, that actually though is a good point. He's been 9 and 10 in the last two pro tours. Like, that's legit. I mean,
Brad Nelson did that.
Yeah, but like, Brad Nelson also won player of the year.
Yeah, no question. I mean, that's fine.
If you catch it during the right year, it's okay to go with that pick. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm kind of sitting on Ichikawa because of two top 8s in a row. I'm like, well, can he do 3? Who knows? But I sure as hell want to see if he can. He plays a lot.
Yeah. Both of you guys picked guys, and I decided to an extent, we all picked guys that have very good teams around them.
Oh, without question.
So.
I mean, you got to pick guys on teams. They're the ones with all the
power. That's my worry about Betcher, is Betcher doesn't have that team really. He's kind of, you know, a loner in the sense.
I mean, we all could have one player fall off, but I think majority this time we ain't gonna see too many not day twos.
So what's the judging prime based on?
Brian has a scoring system.
Total overall finish or?
Yeah, no, I'd have to.
There's points for top 8, points for top 16, points for top
3. We got points on how they do in the limited, how they do in constructed. I'd have to find the score. I got a score sheet somewhere.
Okay, no, it's good. As long as, I mean, if there's a complex ranking system.
It's not just your guys finish better than mine to rank. It'll reflect.
Although a top 8 is a top 8. I mean, there's no way around it. Like, you're going to get a lot of points for that because they did well in everything.
For that. So, just because you obviously did well in all the...
Everything. Yeah, so, I mean, place of finish does kind of matter, but it's more in-depth than that, Will.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah. This is one of Ryan's creations. Like, I mean, and we enjoyed it the last time, and it's worth ringing back for sure, even though I got fucking crushed. My team was terrible. I had Conley Woods, too, last time, huh?
I thought that was a good sleeper pick.
Dude, man. He crushed in the draft, and then he brought that shitty fucking deck.
That deck.
He
had
what was that deck? It was the one, that, like, a
Black
Waste Knot.
No, it wasn't Waste Knot, it was the Zombie Stockpile.
Yeah, Zombie Stockpile.
Oh, it was so bad.
Yeah.
Pretty terrible.
It killed me, because he did so well in the limited portion, and then it got to construct, and it's just like, I'm just sitting there staring at him. And then you do a deck tech with him, and I'm like, this deck's terrible. This deck is absolutely horrible. What the fuck is he thinking?
Well, that's Conley, dude. That's what he does. He plays bad decks.
Yeah, I know, but like, I picked him, and when I picked him, I said, you know what? This might cost me, but he could also bring that deck that breaks it open. I've seen
him. He hasn't done that in a while, though.
He hasn't, but
he's had the best finishes lately when he's just been on the Channel Fireball teams, you know, picks.
Yeah, but he was in that team for so long, he didn't really get a shot to go nuts. You know what I mean?
And he's not with them anymore now, either, though.
He's with, TCG, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Ryan, what the hell have you been up to?
Yeah, they got a great team. None of us picked Wesco.
I know. I told you to pick him.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pick some fucking white weenie player. Are you kidding me? Jesus Christ.
That's why I figured Ryan would want him, you know, death and taxes.
I would think that Ryan would be all over Craig Wesco. And you're like, oh, I think White's good right now. I'm like, well, you should pick Craig Wesco then, but, you know, whatever.
Well, especially because it's the start of a new format and aggro at the very beginning. The control deck we have.
These decks will be figured out. These decks are so much more polished than the Star City Games decks we saw 2 weeks ago. These guys are going to be fucking light years ahead. These are what shapes the format.
Yeah. You should notice by now, it's only the very beginning until the Pro Tour.
Until the first Pro Tour, and then the format's figured out.
Yeah. It's pretty close to figured out after that. It was like, oh, well, I'm going to play this deck, and then Mono Blue shows up for Theros. Everyone's like, oh, what?
Yeah, just put 500 of the best minds in the world, basically, playing a game with all their friends, you know, it's gonna get busted. Like,
yeah.
All they, you know, when, like, the way teams do it now is so much more advanced than it was 10 years ago. Like, they spend, you know, 1,000 man hours in the week before the Pro Tour testing.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm hoping, we get something real funky and unexpected, like Angelo said, the Mono Blue deck. I was saying on the Posse page the other week, I was like, I'm not getting excited about anyone.
I'm gonna pick a sleeper deck. I think if we see a sleeper deck, it might actually be Empty the Pits. It might even be a Grixis Empty the Pits deck.
You know what? I mean, if there's gonna be a sleeper deck, this is the first set of the, you know, the new format where basically all of the good cards got rotated out.
Right.
I mean, let's be honest. We should see some crazy things.
Yeah, I think we are still going to see a lot of green, but we're not going to see nearly as much. People are going to have figured out the aggro plans to beat it and also the control plans to beat it. So
if we're calling funky decks, I'm thinking a teamer, tempo. I think that actually holds up
in a known environment better than the Jeskai one does. The Jeskai threats are just too fragile, actually, to hold up throughout an entire standard year.
I like Teemer with Knuckleblade as a finisher, and I love the new Force Spike.
That deck is potentially very good, but it doesn't interact very well with the monsters list, so we'll have to see how that shakes out.
Yeah, we saw some Teemer monsters list out there.
Yeah, but those are only Teemer in name.
Yeah, I'm looking for more of a, I think there's...
Yeah, I think Teemer Tempo is definitely an archetype, and it potentially will be very good at some point in time in this year. But
bonus points. Just thought of this one. Everybody pick a card. Which card? This will be our tiebreaker. Which card, no lands, of course, sees the most play in the top 8?
Corsair Crew Fix, it's not fair.
Yeah.
You're gonna go Corsair? Okay.
Without fucking question. It's Corsair Caryatid. Corsair Caryatid, Elvish Mystic. Like, without...
You're pretty sure that's gonna be the big...
It's still gonna be the most played deck without question. Dude, it made up 71% of the field at Star City Games. Like...
Oh, fair enough. I mean, I had a feeling that's where it was gonna start too, but I was just wondering if you guys thought that the pros were gonna make changes.
The pros are either gonna build the deck that combats Corsair, or they're just gonna build the best Corsair deck.
Yeah, like, they're still going to be the best Corsair deck, better Corsair deck.
Like Will said, the other week, and the SCG and Indy, 32 of the top 33, I think every deck had Corsair in it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Okay, then we'll just drop that then.
Yeah. I mean, we're picking,
with the exception of, not including Corsair or the Lambs.
I pick Caryatid.
I like Sarkhan.
Okay.
That's a little bit like, no, I don't know. We'll see. In another Pro Tour format, but.
Yeah. If we don't pick Corsair Caryatid or
Elvish Mystic,
you're going to take Sarkhan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to take, I just want to take the next four of in the green deck. I'm gonna pick Thoughtseize. I think the pros can play Thoughtseize better.
Good pick. I can't. That's so hard to beat that pick.
Yeah, I like that one.
I'm gonna say Anti-Sarkon, and I'm gonna go Storm Breath Dragon.
Wow. You guys both think red is it, huh?
For this Pro Tour, yeah.
I think red green, red green's very good. I don't know, man. We'll see. Like, I saw a list that is a black list with Steam Augury feet or Empty the Pits, and it looks so good. It looks so real, dude. Like, I know that it's a deck I like to play, and I love the dirtle on it, but like, if you give this to like a Guillaume, like, yeah, if he plays that list, he might top 8, you know? Like, they're like, oh, I have this Hornet Queen and all these dudes, and he's like, oh, well, I make 33 zombies. Like,
now I beat you.
Yeah, like, that's it.
Gabriel Massif has played Maze's End at the last couple Pro Tours.
That was a trip last time.
Yeah, no, he loved that deck. And that's Gabe's style, too. Like, he and Guillaume are buddies. They have one of the more similar playing styles you can have, so.
Yeah, Gabe's more combo, though. Guillaume is...
I mean, if you look at, control. You look at all of the top 8s that Gabe has had, and like, most of them are actually...
Dragon the Storm?
That's one exception, right? Like, he played blue-white Tron in one top 8. He played another one where he played a blue-white Mesa Pegasus deck. Is that the right card?
Yeah, that's kind of a combo-y deck, though.
But it's still a blue-white control. Yeah. Or he played the Martyr of Sands deck. Like, you know.
What? That's a combo deck, though.
It's not a combo. It's a big
turn one. You go, I play Martyr. Oh, I'm gaining 21.
Right,
months.
Right. But then, then you grind out the late game after playing 5 Wrath of Gods because you play 8 Wrath of Gods in that deck. Then eventually you get your Sacred Mesa online and kill them. Like, I mean, he's a dirtle.
Yeah.
5-color control, like, called shot, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, yeah, he did do that. Okay, fair enough. I was just gonna say, like, you know, the same time that Guillaume was running Draw New Deluve, like, Gabe was running Dragonstorm.
Well, that's because Pat Chapin gave him what was very evidently the best list in Standard at that point in time. Like, the fact that those two guys played that list to the top 8 at Worlds shows it, you know?
Fair. So, Ryan, what the hell you been up to, man?
Fucking working on, shit for Cast from Exile with the guys, trying to get that shit all figured out. Stuff's been sent in, so just kind of waiting for, I guess Chewy at this point now. So, went on SVU Fancast the other day. That was cool. So props to those guys, and just I've been working a ridiculous amount of hours, so not getting to brew like I want to. I'm really excited about the Pro Tour this weekend, hoping to see some new stuff, and yeah, I'm just really excited to, you know, get playing some Magic here in the next upcoming weeks, so.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, not too much, man, just chilling. Had a sick ass, we had a really fun day the other night with another couple. Was very nice. The female half was lovely. Ooh. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Will, what the hell have you been up to?
I've been playing a lot of Magic.
That's good.
I have been playing, I played in a Modern event to marginal success. A bunch of Limited right now. Been playing Magic online. You know, just really trying to absorb the format as much as possible. Sealed, draft, all that.
Are you, forcing Jeskai and everything?
No. Heavens no. No. Okay. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I think that Jeskai is the better aggro deck, but like, you basically are only 3 cards off from the Mardu list, you know? Like, the only difference from Jeskai is that you just want the Jeskai Wind Scout, but aside from that, it's all the same cards, you know? I also force my Dirtles. I've played every color combination. I've played, 4 or 5 colors, 2 colors, you know, done it all. I played Bant to a 3-0 list, which was cool.
Nice.
Just like playing Magic, taking care of my sick girlfriend. I don't know if you can call it I've been trying to take care of her. We'll see. I don't know if I've been doing a good job. But,
we've all been there.
You know, so like, that's about it, you know. Yeah. Oh. Really excited for the Pro Tour this weekend. Cannot wait. Yeah. Didn't get to play D&D last weekend, unfortunately. Gonna, you know, really excited to do that this weekend too. New campaign and all that, so.
Yeah, that's sweet. That's the one you said, you're not doing any of the homework on.
I don't have to do any writing of it. I just get to be creative and be an awful dickhead DM who kills people. I love it.
The best type of DM.
Dude, I'm like, I don't care that you don't have as much XP as them. You died twice. Like, you're level 3, they're level 7, it's not my fault, okay? You can make a new character if you want to. I don't care.
He'll be at level 1.
No, he'll be at level 7. It's fine. I don't care. Whatever. But so that's, you know, that's about it. What about you, Ange?
I've had kind of a full week. So like, okay, I'm going to work backwards. I got told today, after work that my iPhone 6 Plus will be in tomorrow or the next day. So that's cool.
Oh man. Oh man.
I was due for an upgrade and I saved it for now. Like I was smart.
Why are you even gonna, man, you should just play Magic Online on the new iPhone.
Yeah, I wish I could, damn Mac products. my TV took a shit. So like and this is kind of funny because like I use a TV for my monitor. So I had to move my TV that was my monitor into my living room, which is going to get switched with the bedroom TV eventually because it's not really big enough. And I'm going to have to be electronic repairman and fix my, my big TV, which I've done once before and it's the same problem. So I know I can do it again.
You should buy two power supplies this time, Angelo.
I probably should. Like, it's the power supply motherboard. It just keeps burning out on this fucking thing.
Yeah, it was,
it's pissing
me
off.
What, like, a year since the last one?
And it's been about two.
Yeah, okay, I guess that was back around episode 5, though, huh?
You know what, it might have been before we even started this I got it fixed.
Really?
Yeah, because think about it, it went out when we went to Baltimore.
Wow, that's forever.
Yeah, and like it sat for a year before I fixed it, but yeah, it's been sitting, yeah. So there's that, dude, November 1st. Will, you gotta come with me.
I have a wedding to go to, I'm sorry.
Damn it! But it's Extreme Midget Wrestling!
That's awesome. I am going to a pirate wedding.
Oh, yeah, like I'm driving down the road and I see a sign flashing for Extreme Midget Wrestling. I'm like, I gotta go.
You should call Steve.
I probably will. Because I brought up to the wife and she's like, eh. I'm like, okay, I gotta find someone to go with. I'll go by myself. I don't care. Like,
I would go with you in spirit.
Wait. I gotta call Angelo out right now because didn't you say you had problems with the word midget?
Okay, you call your wrestling federation EMW and it stands for Extreme Midget Wrestling. I'm not the one saying the word. This is the name of the brand, kind of like World Wrestling Federation or Entertainment now. Dude, I didn't make the name of the place.
But that's you don't have to say the Washington Redskins by name either.
That's what they called the, you know, just like you said with the Washington Redskins, like, I mean, that's what they call it. So until they change the name, that's what it is. So yeah, I'm going to live with that. I'm going to go to that November 1st, though, for sure. I'll be posting pictures and everything. It's going to be so much fun.
Well, I'm glad that you will have fun at the exploitation of minorities.
We're making money.
That's true, but, I mean, I don't know.
And they probably chose... You know what's funny? Like, I do know a lot of smaller statured people who are in the entertainment building or in the entertainment business, and they have no problem with the word in the entertainment business because it makes them money. It's the ones outside of the entertainment business that does not like the word midget.
See that?
You know.
Like the real ones.
What?
Like the real ones.
Yeah, the everyday, you know, I live in life ones, they don't like the word and, you know, that's something, you know, is what it is. Also, I kinda had to sell my MTGO collection.
Were you using it? Were you playing Constructed at all?
I was trying to.
Yeah.
And the damn, like, I don't have enough RAM on my computer, so, and I can't push my motherboard any further.
Yeah. Can you delete some of your porn?
That has nothing to do with RAM.
Jesus, man, come on.
I'm stoned right now. Shut up.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with RAM. So, like, that's where my issue is, and I can't push my motherboard any further than where it is because the processors don't handle, you know, no more than 4 gigs of RAM. So, I sold my collection online, and I got a check in the mail from somebody, and I'm going to take said money. said monies, and I am going to go buy a computer that can run MTGO.
Good for you. I think that's sweet. New upgrade a computer once every 5 or 8 years is a very good thing in life.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of weird. Like, I'm selling all my cards to buy a computer so you can play the card game.
I mean, Angelo, I've never known you to be a constructed player, really. So, I mean, like, and
early on I was, but I haven't been in years.
For the most part, like, even then, how much of your constructed collection do you actually even use? You know, like maybe, you know, like once they're done with standard or, I mean, do you play a lot of modern or?
No, I despise modern. I have been delving more into legacy.
Right? Legacy's sweet, but it's just, I mean, even online it's just too expensive.
Yeah.
Are you trying to get into standard on paper or online?
At the moment I'm kind of doing both.
Okay.
And it's an expensive proposition.
Yeah.
You just gotta win every match you play. And
that's the thing. Online, I can go a long time without paying money.
Yeah.
So, like, that's kind of where I'm like, you know what? I did not sell any of my packs that I had.
Well, then you're fine. Then you're so fine.
When I get back on, like, I can play cards right away. That's not an issue.
I've actually thought of going to MTGO just because me and Megan both play, and so
you share the collection.
No, I mean, we each essentially have a collection, so it's already like someone's playing on MTGO and the other in paper that I kind of think just might be for one of us to play.
You share your paper, you guys can both do an MTGO.
I mean, it's just we both like so many of the same card, you know, the best cards in Standard we both want to play with. So
just to let you know, if you do go on MTGO, and you know, I know you're going to do that, Cast from Exile podcast, don't bring up on the podcast that she's on your client. That will get you kicked off of MTGO.
Not allowed to share clients.
You can't share an account?
No.
It's because a collectible card game. You kidding
me? When they have a premier event or something like that, if they're going to give out like an invite or anything like that, they want to know who that's going to.
Right.
So if you're sharing, you know, there was somebody that got in a bunch of trouble a few years ago because somebody logged onto his account while he was at a GP, top aiding a GP. Somebody's playing a PTQ under his name.
Oh, wow.
That's funny.
Right. You can't do that.
No. So that's kind of like one of the reasons they just don't want that crap. So yeah, there's that. I'll move to shout outs. I'm going to give one to Jason Roskam, who, guys, if you've not read his article on MTG Bro Deals,
it was good.
Dude, it'll pull your heart. You need to go read that article. Like,
yeah, I definitely did read that article. I don't read a whole lot on MTG Bro Deals, but I read that one.
It is really, really good. Like, yeah. I mean, I forwarded it directly to Mauro and to, Helen Bergero because I'm like, you guys need to read this.
Yeah.
My phone's been going crazy ever since. So, you know, there's that. I also need to give a, shout out to Jordan from the Sprint store because he's holding my iPhone Plus, my iPhone 6 Plus, so I can get it. And this is their first shipment of iPhone 6s that they're getting at this particular store.
Angela, you're such a nerd. You're such a nerd.
Dude, I don't know, man. Like, wow. I've been rocking an iPhone 4 for how long?
I don't know, dude. My phone has buttons on it.
Yeah, mine does not.
Bill, you'll be happy to know. This will make you smile. The very first iPhone 6 sold broke on live television.
Yeah, awesome. I don't care. Dude, I put them in cases.
I don't care. I don't give a shit about iPhone, Samsung. I know they're all sweet. They're amazing things, but like, they are bad for humanity.
Fair.
I'm sorry.
Fair. But I get, you know,
God damn it, why can't things be the way they used to be?
Because they're not.
When I was a little old girl, a little lady, Frankfurt had used a cousin nickel.
Yeah, get off my lawn.
God damn it, dude.
Used to have to
fucking
walk.
Fucking kids in their music and their tight pants.
Are you going to turn the water on me? Don't turn the hose on me, man.
Back in my day, we had to walk a mile to get stoned and have sex.
Yeah, I can remember walking a couple of miles in the woods.
Yeah, for sure.
In the middle of the night, hoping that the girl was still awake because I talked to her, you know, an hour ago.
Kids don't have that now. They don't do that now.
Yeah, it's a damn shame.
Motherfucker.
Dodging cops because you're out past curfew.
Hashtag whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Funny story, we were out on acid one night after curfew in high school and a cop turned corner and we scattered and one of my friends literally like in the cartoons tried to hide behind one of those really thin trees.
That's awesome.
The cop just
that's a good story.
Yeah, I've been there. I can remember laying down in the middle of a baseball field, or it was a football field, going, okay, the cop's not going to see us. And remarkably, he didn't, but our logic was, if he gets out of his car to chase us, there's no way he'll catch us because he's got 50-yard start.
He's not going to catch us. He's a cop. Come on.
But he didn't see us when he flashed the light over us because we were so still and so, like, on the ground.
Awesome.
It was amazing. Anyway, my last shout-out I want to give to the Card Nexus. He runs a bot store on
Dude, that guy's sweet.
He's the one who bought all of my tickets off of me.
Oh, really?
95 cents to the ticket, which is about the going rate.
That's a good price.
But it was a very quick and painless transaction with him.
Yeah, he's who I've been selling my compacts to.
Yeah, and because of that, like, I'm really going to, you know, I haven't done a lot of business with him, but I'm really going to – start considering him a lot more when I get to
his
computer and I'm playing again, because it's, hey, if he's going to work that quickly and that painlessly with me to take care of that, it's worth checking his shit out. And I think all of you should too.
Yeah, he's a very good bot. He's on my friends list for sure.
Okay, Will, you got any shout outs?
I want to shout out Teespring because I got my sweet ass Codems hoodie this week.
Yeah, those are nice.
It kind of smelled a little funny though.
It was the ink.
Yeah, I know it is.
One wash and it's gone.
Yeah, I know. It could take me a while to wash it out. man, I had more shout outs, but I've been dicking around on Facebook. Fuck. Shout out to the new members who I added on Pit Imps this week. Thank you very much to the new posse members. I forgot your names. That's what I was looking for. I couldn't find you, but thank you for responding and allowing me to add you to the group. It did in fact make my week.
Ryan, shout outs.
I'll second Will and shout out everybody in the fucking posse. Y'all are family. So much love. Shout out, Braden Defoe for telling me to order Jeskai Ascendancies when they were like,
made money.
Right, thank you, Braden. Shout out to all the guys over on SVU Fancast. It was fun as shit casting with them the other night. Mike, Robot Large, big props to him. They're doing it big. Josh, the proxy guy, best proxy dude in the business. Hands fucking down. Big shout out to him. And Jason, of course, was on there as well. So sweet. It was, I was really glad to be on there. It was a fun time. So thank you. Shout out to them. Shout out. Also, great day for a Magic player, man. I got a follow on Twitter from Helene Bergeau.
Really?
I guess that means I'm legit, so.
Wow.
I gotta watch my act and shit, so.
Yeah, I was gonna say, let's see how long that lasts.
Yeah, right.
I posted a picture of it on Twitter, cause I was like, people are not gonna fucking believe this, like, Helene fucking Bergeau. So yeah shout
I
out
saw
to
that.
Crazy.
Helene's cool, so.
Okay, is that all your shout-outs?
Yeah.
Okay, contact info. How do people get a hold of you, Ryan?
At the fucking posse page, of course. I'm still there, people. I've been busy as shit.
So. Yeah, I haven't seen you all week, though, man. I was worried. I hadn't seen you at all.
Yeah, I've been working, like, with the exception of today, I've been working, like, 14-hour days.
Wow.
So the exception, like, today and Sunday, so.
Welcome to my world.
mostly commission.
Okay, good, good. Well, as long as you're getting paid for your time.
Yeah. It's been great lately, so. Been a ridiculous amount of work and I'm over it. I'm ready for winter to get here and I take a big break over December, so I'm pretty pumped about that. So ready to get it here with some ends stacked up in savings, so that'll be nice. And so the posse page, of course, you guys are always, one of the best families of Magic. Keep it up. Lots of new posts. We need more. Guys, we don't need any more of these Abzan mid-range brews. Let's see something different, man. We need some funky shit on there.
Let's see some Teemer tempo. Let's start working on that.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's the next step. I don't think the Jeskai tempo deck is gonna hold up very well.
I want to see Disdainful Strokes, damn it. Yeah. So let's see some funky stuff, guys. You know what? We might have to do a contest for that one. We might have to do something. We'll mention that next week.
I mean, if we're gonna do a contest, we need to do a 5-color. If that's the flat out, hands down, best 5-color deck.
Ooh, that's spicy.
Yeah. I don't have nothing to give away at the moment, so.
I can give away internet hugs. It's a valuable prize. Think about it.
I got cards. I mean, I got the prize box, so there's tons of good shit in it. So I added a fifth Soren the other day because I got a play set and opened a fifth one in a box.
Okay.
Yeah, we could do that. We'll figure it out. So
yeah, coming soon.
I got an extra Windswept Heath. So there's good stuff. We got good stuff.
Oh, nice. So.
Shout outs. Wait, no, we did this.
No, we're
contact info, Will.
I'm also available primarily on the Pit Imps Posse Facebook page. But yep. If for some reason you wanted to find me, facebook.com/baddinner.
If you want to get a hold of me, get a hold of me at Gonksuo on Twitter and on MTGO shortly here.
I have been on MTGO as Will_Flaccid.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Add him to your buddy list.
Wait, are you just, what's your Twitter?
No, that's my MTGO.
Okay.
Yeah. By the way, did you know there's a Pit Imps Posse MTGO clan?
There is.
Wow.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Mm. Yeah, so, like, if you wanted to join the clan, you could get a hold of me once I get my, which will be this weekend, once I get my computer back up, get a better one. I'll be on there a lot more again, so get a hold of me, send me a message, and I will add you as soon as I deem time necessary stuff, words.
Words! Words!
You can also get a hold of me in a little long form at pitimppodcast@gmail.com. That seems to be a pretty good place, you know, to send long, hate-filled speech towards me. I always appreciate those.
No, you gotta put those on Facebook or Twitter. Well, not Twitter because they can't be long, but you gotta, it has to be visible to the public.
So, yeah, there's that. But next week we have a PT to go
on. Oh my god, Pro Tour Hawaii. It's always the fun.
You know how our PT episodes go. They are long.
Yep.
They are in depth. Yep. They are so much fun to do. I enjoy them to no end. And we're going to find out who got their face stomped in the PT draft.
Oh man, I want to win so badly.
I have a fear. Man, the more I look at Will's top four picks here.
He's got four good ones.
I feel like I did well. I feel like I did well. I, you know, my fourth pick is a second pick worthy dude on most weeks, you know, so.
It's well-rounded.
Yeah, it's good. So yeah.
Come on, Finesse, man. Get off the shot.
I'm just trying to hit home runs with mine.
Yeah, you are definitely going for home runs. But if that's the way the points system rewards, I can understand playing that. You know?
No. Consistency is good.
Yeah. So, well, until next week, guys.
Cards to tap and ass to slap, motherfuckers. Get out there and do it.
I got a new one this week, right? Boners, 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 boners.
Okay, have a good one. Go fuck yourself.